بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد. Today we cover the entirety of the 18th juz, which includes Surah Mu'minun. It includes Surah Nur and also the first few pages of Surah Furqan. So Surah Al-Mu'minun means the believers. It discusses the basic articles of faith, belief in At-Tawheed, belief in the Prophets and the Akhirah. It tells us about the qualities of a believer, which I will get to very soon, and it discusses aspects of the Day of Resurrection. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts off by saying, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, that he starts off the surah telling us the qualities of a successful Muslim. Keep in mind, here the word falah is used. Falah specifically means someone who is, falah is when you are successful in the Akhirah as well. In the Akhirah as well, and not only simply in this dunya. That's why in this Adhan we have Hayya ala al-Falah, come towards success. What is that success? That's because of the success of the Akhirah. So in these ayahs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only tells us about the qualities of a successful Muslim for the Akhirah, but also literally how to get to Jannatul Firdaus. Because he says whoever does all of the, has all these qualities, then that person is going to enter into Jannatul Firdaus hum fiha khalidun. So what are these qualities? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, well, we can't go into the details of them, but the first quality Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he talks about those people that have khushu', الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ, those people that have khushu' in their salah. Khushu' could mean physically, that means on the outside they're praying their salah in a way where they're making sure they're following all the guidelines of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and khushu' also refers to khushu' inside the heart. What a khushu' inside the heart generally means, it does not mean that the entire salah, all the way from the time you say the takbirah tahreema till salam, that you don't think about anyone but Allah. That's very, very, very difficult to do. But khushu' in the heart means that you pray salah always thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but whenever you do get distracted, because that happens to everyone, whenever you do get distracted, the moment you realize you've been distracted, you go back to your salah. And even if this happens 100 times in that one salah, that's okay, you have khushu'. As long as whenever you start, whenever you realize you're going away from the salah, you bring yourself back to salah. That means you have khushu' in the heart as well. The next thing is people, عَنِ اللَّهُ مُعْرِضُونَ, they stay away from vain things. Anything that takes you away from the dhikr of Allah is considered to be vain. Number three is they give zakah. Number four is they stay chaste. Number five is they fulfill trust, which means the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the rights of people. We have trust to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are going to fulfill all of the obligations that are upon us, and we also have our trust to people. The Quran over and over highlights the aspect of fulfilling our promises fulfilling our trust. Number six is punctuality in their salah. That the first part was talking about salah, and it ends off with salah as well. The first part talks about how to pray your salah, and the last part tells you about, in general, praying all of your salah. So whoever does these six things, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they can get Jannatul Firdaus. So everyone should make a list of the goals they want to reach during this pandemic. It's a time of trial, so we should have some goals we want to clear during this pandemic too from our religious side. And these qualities give us a very, very nice list to go through and see how far we have come along in getting to Jannatul Firdaus. We should list these six things and look at it one by one. Did I do this? Let me focus on this. Then go to the next one. Do I do this? Then let me and see how you're doing and try to get all six of these done. Of course, we all want Jannah. We can make dua for Jannatul Firdaus, but if you're not working towards it, then that dua is almost useless for you. Of course, no dua is ever rejected, but nevertheless, we have to do some action too. Moving forward, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right in the first page, tells us, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ سُلَالَةٍ مِنْ طِينٍ. In these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a summary of our lives. But what's the most interesting are the final verses. Because when we imagine our lives, we think of birth and struggling in this world as a baby, then as a child, then as an adult, then through old age, and then finally death. But Allah ta'ala goes one step further when he's explaining our life. What does he say? He says in the last two verses, ثُمَّ إِنَّكُمْ بَعْدَ ذَٰلِكَ لَمَيِّتُونَ ثُمَّ إِنَّكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ تُبَعَثُونَ. What are some phases of your life that you are going to pass away? لَمَيِّتُونَ. Then there's another phase after that. ثُمَّ إِنَّكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ تُبَعَثُونَ. That on the day of judgment, you are going to rise once again. That's actually a phase of our lives. When you're thinking of your life, imagine the day of judgment as part of that timeline that you have. So the last phase of our life isn't here at all. It's in the Akhirah, and it is the longest phase. Day of Judgment is way longer than this our stay in this entire world. And normally, whenever anything has a final phase, all the phases before it are used for preparation. Because, of course, the final product is the main goal. That's how we work. If we want to get to the final product, we make sure the phases before it are perfected. An example of this is like our children. We try to train them in every way possible to prepare them for their adult life. It would make no sense at all to tell them to just live in the moment and only have fun. We don't tell our kids that since you're a kid, just live as a kid, because you're in that phase of kids, so only be a kid and do nothing else. And if the kid says that, oh, he just wants to live and just have fun, you're not going to tell him, okay then, no school anymore, no exercising, no building of character, no learning different social skills. This is wrong because inevitably they must grow into adulthood. You know that's going to be a part of their life. So similarly, our entire lives here are simply a small but the most essential phase for building our lives for the Akhirah. We are in our kid phase, our adult phases when we see the Akhirah. So in this kid phase, if it won't make sense if we leave, we ignore the Akhirah completely. So this pandemic is a reminder that disease and death is at our door. And we need to start going back to the school for the Akhirah and stop spending so much time on the playground of this dunya. It was the disbelievers that had a backwards attitude regarding this. They would say, as mentioned in one of the verses we recited today in the surah, إِنْهِيَ إِلَّا حَيَاتُنَا الدُّنْيَا نَمُوتُ وَنَحْيَا وَمَا نَحْنُ بِمَبْعُوثِينَ. They would say, there's nothing except our worldly life over here. We will die, and then that's it, and that there's no such thing as us coming back, and وَمَا نَحْنُ بِمَبْعُوثِينَ. We will not be resurrected. Moving forward, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this surah talks about different prophets who were sent to their nations, like Nuh alayhi salam, Allah's blessings upon the people of Makkah, and different what happened to the people, there are different things related to that. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَلَوْ رَحِمْنَاهُمْ وَكَشَفْنَا مَا بِهِمْ مِنْ ضُرِّ لَلَجُّوا فِي طُغْيَانِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ. Allah tells us in these few ayahs that at times, He afflicts nations with calamities. And out of His mercy, He may remove that calamity and remove that affliction. But what do these people do when He removes it? لَلَجُّوا فِي طُغْيَانِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ. Though they go back into whatever frivolous things they were doing before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put them into that affliction. And because of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends another warning by sending another punishment to see their reaction. But what do most of them do? مَسْتَكَانُوا لِرَبِّهِمْ وَمَا يَتَضَرَّعُونَ. When they're hit by that affliction, they do not humble themselves in front of Allah, nor do they call out to Allah expressing their weaknesses. وَمَا يَتَضَرَّعُونَ, which in Urdu is called gilgirana, that the gilgirana, like you, they really call out to Allah with humility. They don't do that. So since after the first affliction, they didn't fix themselves, then Allah sent them another punishment, they still didn't fix themselves. Then what happens is, since they didn't learn their lesson, Allah Ta'ala finally opens the door for their final punishment. And then upon realizing their fate, they become fully hopeless. فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَابًا ذَا عَذَابٍ شَدِيدٍ إِذَا هُمْ فِيهِ مُبْلِسُونَ. Now here's a question of the hour. Many of us have plenty of du'as to Allah Ta'ala. We were making plenty of du'as to Allah Ta'ala, and He's answered them for us in the past, but we didn't turn to Him. So now He sent this entire pandemic as another punishment, waiting for us to humble ourselves and fix ourselves and call out to Him showing our weakness. Have we done that, or are we waiting for the final punishment? That's what we should ask ourselves. Moving forward, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in one of these verses, Allah says, قُلْ رَبِّ إِمَّا تُرِيَنِّي مَا يُعَدُونَ. Allah ta'ala told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that He has the power to show him the punishment that He is going to send upon the wrongdoers in his area. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after these ayahs were revealed, he was afraid that what if the punishment comes upon me? Like they came to the previous nation. So he asked Allah, if you do send the punishment, إِمَّا تُرِيَنِّي مَا يُعَدُونَ رَبِّي فَلَا تَجْعَلْنِي فِي الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. Don't include me amongst those wrongdoers. He had told Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him that he can show that punishment, but He gave him some advice. What did He say? The first thing is, اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنْ. That repel all evil things by doing good deeds. Do good deeds to repel all the evil away from you. And then He told him, say, رَبِّي أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ هَمَزَاتِ الشَّيَاطِينَ وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ رَبِّي أَنْ يَحْضُرُونَ. I seek refuge from the temptation of the devils and from even them coming near me. Those who are wrongdoers, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when He does send the punishment and it hits all of those wrongdoers, when that comes to them, what do they say? رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا فِي مَا تَرَكْتُ. They're finally going to say, oh Allah, return our souls back. Let us go back to this world, because when we go back to that world, we'll actually start doing good deeds. We'll make up for whatever فِي مَا تَرَكْتُ, we'll make up for whatever we did in the past, and we'll do good deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَلَّا, never. إِنَّهَا كَلِمَةٌ هُوَ قَائِلُهَا. This is just something they're saying. It's ridiculous. That's not what they're going to do. When we وَرَائِهِمْ بَرَزَقٌ إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ يُبَعَثُونَ. That they must go into their grave, go into the next realm, the barzakh, until the day of judgment. Now what if this pandemic is one of those punishments? Allah Ta'ala tells us to do two things in this situation, like He told Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Number one, ادفع بالتي أحسن, do good deeds. And number two, it's a dua, but the explanation of it is, stay away from the temptations of the evil devils. What are we doing in this pandemic? Are we still committing sins? Are we still accepting the temptations of shaitan? Or are we waiting for death to come in until we actually say, oh Allah, return us back so we can do good deeds? So it's time to change, and the pandemic is telling us you need to change. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the abode of the disbelievers on the day of judgment and in Jahannam. Then moving on to Surah Nur, which means light. This name, the surah is given the name Surah An-Nur because it talks about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being the guiding light for the heavens and the earth, because He is called Al-Munawwir, the one who gives light. Of course, a spiritual type of light. The subject of the surah, the theme is, discusses many rules regarding chastity, lowering your gaze, hijab. It's interesting how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is linking His light with all the rules that have to do with interaction amongst males and females. The entire surah over and over and over and over again talks about hijab, interaction with other males and females, lowering your gaze, and linking that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about His nur. So which is very interesting, you can see that connection there. And sadly, the rules of chastity and the rules of hijab and rules of lowering the gaze, that is the most abused ruling, I would say. After looking at all the fatwas and I had to do in the past, I would say that is the most abused ruling. Either A, people are not doing it and they ask advice on how to fix it, or B, people are doing it and they make excuses about why it's correct for them to do it. That's a sad situation today. Moving forward, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the beginning of the surah, mentions the incident of ifk and how Allah ta'ala absolved Aisha radiallahu anha, that Abdullah bin Ubay bin Sulul, he slandered Aisha radiallahu anha, and he said, na'udhu billah, that Safwan radiallahu anha, a great sahabi, and Aisha radiallahu anha, they did something haram. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala absolves them and tells that all the people, all the sahabas and everyone, that this is not what happened. This is all a lie. Buhtanun azim. It's a great accusation. It's wrong. There's a whole hadith about it. We can't get into it. One point I would want to make just regarding this. In the hadith of the ifk that's in Sahih Bukhari, when Safwan radiallahu anhu goes to Aisha radiallahu anha, he recognizes her. And Aisha radiallahu anha specifically says in that hadith that Safwan radiallahu anhu recognized me because he saw me before the verses of hijab were revealed. What that means is, Aisha radiallahu anha was covered at that time, so no one could actually recognize her. And the only reason he even recognized her, because, he knew her from before the laws of hijab were there. So even in the middle of the desert, Aisha radiallahu anha was covering herself. Moving forward, in one of these ayahs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا يَأْتَيُوا الْفَضْلِ مِنْكُمْ. This ayah was revealed regarding Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and we find mention of it in Sahih Bukhari. Very quickly, what happened was that Abdullah bin Ubayd bin Sulul, the great munafiq, he started spreading this rumor about Safwan radiallahu anhu and Aisha radiallahu anha, and in the process, some of the sahabas ended up not joining Abdullah bin Ubayd bin Sulul, but they thought that rumor was true. So they started saying it too. They started actually mentioning it to other people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was, of course, did not like that from the sahabas, and He told them, لَوْ لَا سَمِعْتُ, why didn't the believers say that this is a lie? There's no proof. Why should we even say something, subhanal antatakallama bihada? How can we even bring this upon our tongue? So anyway, one of the sahabas that did this, his name was Mistah bin Athatha. Mistah bin Athatha was also someone who also started mentioning that, yeah, this incident happened between Safwan radiallahu and Aisha radiallahu anha, which of course was false. So what happened was, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he took an oath. Once Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed these verses that this was all wrong, he took an oath and he said that, so Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu before would actually give money to Mistah because he was having hard times and he would spend regularly on him. Just relationship-wise, Mistah is the grandson of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's maternal aunt. So he's like his grandnephew, for lack of words. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, no, I'm not going to give him any money. I'm not going to give him anything anymore. I was spending on him before, but because he did this, I'm not going to do it anymore. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا يأتلي, and he swore. He said, Wallahi, I won't do it. Allah says, لا يأتلي أولو الفضل منكم وَالسَّعَةِ أَنْ يُؤْتُوا أُولِي الْقُرْبَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that those among you who are ulul fadl, that have money and that have wealth, they should never take an oath and say that they're not going to spend on these people, on the masakeen, on the poor people, just because of what happened. And the reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives right after that, which is very amazing, he says, وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا. No matter what happened, ya'fu, forgive everyone, وَلْيَصْفَحُوا, and just forget about it. Think of it as if it never happened. And one very important lesson here is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who have mercy upon others and forgive. That's why right at the end of the ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu the greatest reason to forgive everyone and continue to give money to Miftah. What was the reason? He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this ayah, أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. That you should forgive others, because don't you love that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should forgive you as well? That you are saying you're not giving anything to someone and you're not forgiving them, then you yourself may be a sinner, then how is Allah going to forgive you if you cannot forgive others? أَلَا تَحِبُّونَ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. So during this pandemic, we should take our time to remember all those who have wronged us, and this is very hard to do, but forgive all of them, because we have the ultimate reason to do so as well. The same reason Allah told Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, we have it as well. We have sins, of course, and we want Allah to forgive us. If anyone's done wrong to us, we should forgive them, because أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Do you not want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you? And right now, we're not meeting a lot of those same people. Our communication is cut off. Who knows who's going to pass away? It's a good time to just forgive everyone. There's a hadith in Abu Dawud, and I'll continue. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, الرَّاحِمُونَ يَرْحَمُهُمُ الرَّحْمَنِ اِرْحَمُوا مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَرْحَمْكُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ. That Ar-Rahman, the most merciful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has mercy upon those people that are Ar-Rahimun, those people that have mercy upon others. Irhamu man fil ardi, irhamkum man fis sama, have mercy upon those that are in this world, then the one in the heavens is going to have mercy upon you. So that is what we should do. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about saying salam when we enter our homes. Tahiyyatan min indillahi mubarakatan tayyibah. He mentioned that mubarakatan tayyib. It's a very blessed thing that we can do to say assalamu alaikum. Even though one's home, say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, because of course the angels are always there. Then he talks about rights of sharing spaces, hijab, quality of believers, etiquette of visiting homes. These are lengthy topics. We cannot discuss them right now. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. The last ayah I will discuss. Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. Allah ta'ala tells us that He is the guiding light for the heavens and the earth. Then he describes what the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, how greatly it shines, and he describes many afizujah. There are lots of details given about the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are covering the entire heavens and the earth. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us where is the location of that light. He tells us where the location is. He says, "Fi buyutin adina Allahu an turfa wa yuzkara fi hasmu." It is in those houses in which the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is raised loudly. Where you hear the dhikr of Allah happening loudly, where you hear the Qur'an being recited loudly, where everything is, you hear the adhan being recited loudly. All the ulama and tafsir have mentioned, buyut here, houses here, means, of course, the houses of Allah, referring to the masajid. That is the location of that nur. But sadly, because of our wrongs and our sins, we have been distanced from this light, at least in this country. But we can still keep the qualities of those who hold up this light. Allah tells us two things in this surah, in these ayahs. He tells the location of the light, and thereafter, right after that, He tells us those people that uphold that light. Who are they? He says there, رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَإِقَامِ الصَّلَاةِ وَإِيتَاءِ الزَّكَاةِ يَخَافُونَ يَوْمًا تَتَقَلَّبُ فِيهِ الْقُلُوبُ الْأَبْصَارِ. These are those people that are not distracted by business, they're not distracted by making money. This does not distract them from zikrillah, from the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This does not distract them from praying salah. This does not distract them from giving zakah. So these people are not, so business and trade, earning money and worldly gains, it does not distract these people from the zikr of Allah. Why? يخافون يوما تتقلب فيه القلوب والأبصار, because they fear the last day when eyes and ears will be overturned because of the horrors of that day. They fear seeing that day. Now during this pandemic, sadly we've lost the location of this light, which is the masajid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And many of us now are putting our full attention towards worldly gains, and we're worried about our financials because of this pandemic. Even though that's the opposite quality mentioned here. Such is the severity of this pandemic. Many people are thinking, I'm so comfortable at home, I'm going to go do groceries, that's it, it's all fun, nice, it's all good and dandy, nothing bad is happening. This is the severity of this pandemic, and understand it through these ayahs. It's making us lose the location of this light, which is the masajid, and on top of that, it's making us lose the quality of those who have this light as well, which is shunning worldly distractions. Everyone is running towards the world right now, and we've already been distanced from the masjid because everyone is worried about their business, about their job, about their financials, about paying off everything, getting the loans, getting the loans from the government, stimulus checks. That's what everyone is worried about, and they're talking about. So this pandemic damaged us on both sides. It damages us from getting to the location of the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it damages us from getting the quality of that light either. The world is spiritually dying as I speak right now. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us to turn towards the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to turn towards the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us for all of our shortcomings and our wrongs, and reintroduce His light throughout this entire world in tenfold than what it was before. The next surah that's there, Surah Furqan, inshallah, I'll discuss that tomorrow because we only covered the first two pages. Wa akhiru da'wan, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.